the book of Malachi. In chapter 3 and verse 1. Chapter 3, verse 1 of Malachi. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord. And then if you go to John chapter 1, and verse 29. John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. If you drop down to verse 31, he said, And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. He tells us why he was baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending, and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. So John came baptizing for repentance, to admit that they were sinners, preparing the way. He was baptizing because that's what he was instructed, and he would be able to point out the Savior, the one that he was preparing the way for, introducing to the world. And so John here, he introduced the ordinance of baptism. He announced the gospel, and he introduced the ordinance of baptism. So in the choosing of the 12, number 3 there in the notes, we see the principle of a group of believers called out and assembled with Christ as the head. The choosing of the 12. You remember that the disciples, it tells us, John chapter 4, they were baptized. Jesus, first thing he did, beginning his earthly ministry, was to be baptized. So that's important for us to understand. John introduced the ordinance of baptism. In the choosing of the 12, we see a called out assembly. But we notice something in the scripture. Christ was the head. We notice that they were growing in number. If you look at these passages in Mark chapter 2, you see that they were growing in number. And the Lord chose out of that number, he chose those 12 disciples. And he began working to train them. Mark chapter 2, verse 15. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples. For there were many, and they followed him. There were many, and they followed him. And in Luke chapter 6, and verse 13... Luke chapter 6, Luke 6:13. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he had named apostles. So you see, there were more than just the 12 who were following him. Luke chapter 7, verse 11. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him. Many of his disciples went with him, and much people. And then, John 6:66, we notice that There were some, when they heard his words, decided not to follow him anymore. From that time, many of his disciples went back. Notice the many again. Went back and walked no more with him. That's certainly a common thing of the New Testament church. If we had everybody that has come to Calvary and left us, we wouldn't have enough room to seat them in here. It's still the same today. And then Acts chapter 1 and verse 15. Acts chapter 1 and verse 15. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of his disciples and said, now notice this, the number of names together were about 120. So this is all happening, by the way, before Pentecost. Numbers were following him. He chose the 12, called them out, began training them. Jesus taught them church discipline. Look at that in Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. And we go down to verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. Now, how are you going to tell it unto a church that doesn't exist at this time? How could you do that? It had to exist at this time. This is long before Pentecost. This is Jesus speaking before he's even gone to the cross. And he's talking about tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Remember what he said there in Matthew 16? He gave authority to the local church. Clear back there in Matthew 16. When he said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And he said back there, if you just jump back and look at it in chapter 16, he said in verse 19, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And so he says it again here in verse 18 of chapter 18. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Down to verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Clear scripture that the church is operating at this time. They partook of the Lord's table. Matthew chapter 26. This is the ordinance of the Lord's table. We've already seen baptism. Jesus was baptized, the disciples. John came baptizing. And we notice here it says in Matthew chapter 26, verse 17. Now on the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And we'll jump over for the sake of time to verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And so they partook of the Lord's table. They had a treasure and were taking offerings. John chapter 12, verse 6 is very clear on this issue. John 12, verse 6 says, this said he, not that he cared, talking about Judas Iscariot. Not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had to bag and bear what was put therein. He was the treasurer, and he was taking out of it. They were taking offerings. You can see it again in chapter 13 and verse 29. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He was handling the offerings, the money that they had. In Acts chapter 1, verses 15 through 26, we see that they chose a replacement for him. Judas, after he had betrayed the Lord, he went out and hanged himself. And he was a thief. Number 7, there in the notes, they were singing and preaching and praying. Notice what it says about Jesus there in Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church. Will I sing praise unto thee in the midst of the church? Sing praise. Mark chapter 14. In Mark 14. And verse 26. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Same thing says there in Matthew that we just read in verse 30. It says, when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. They were singing. There was preaching. Luke chapter 9, verses 2 to 6. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick, and said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece, and whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. So they had preaching, Matthew 9:35. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. And Jesus went about all their cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Acts chapter 1. Over to Acts chapter 1. And verse 12. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went in up into an upper room where there abode Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. There they were in a prayer meeting, praying. And they were given the Great Commission. Number 8 there in the notes, they were given the Great Commission. We know these verses, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. Jesus came and spake unto them, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So they were given the Great Commission to go out with the gospel. It was purchased, number 9 there, it was purchased by Jesus before Pentecost. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. You have to put your thinking cap on. It's what sometimes people don't do. It's a very important word for Bible study, and that's the word of meditation. Think. Think about it. Don't just read it and loosely go on, but think about it. And so we look at this and we think about Acts 20 and verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Well, you think about that. He hath purchased. That means he purchased a church that had to be in existence when he died on the cross. It had to be in existence. If you stop and think about it, it had to be. Ephesians 5:25. Just a couple of verses out of many that we could look at. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, it had to be in existence for him to give himself for it. Had to be in existence. He gave himself for something that didn't exist? Really? He had to give himself for something that existed. Jesus gives his approval, number 10 there, to their training in the upper room. Remember, he was training them, teaching them. Many times he explained the parables to them, taught them what he was trying to teach. And we look in John chapter 20. John chapter 20 and verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. So they are assembled here. I guess they had learned that they were supposed to assemble together. It was long before Pentecost. Not too long, but it was long before. And when he had so said, verse 20, he showed them unto them his hands and his feet. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. Here it is. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said thus, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. He commissions them, gives them the approval to their training there in the upper room when he appeared to them. So here are some reasons that the church did not start at Pentecost. For these reasons. Many Bible teachers today believe the church started at Pentecost. But it doesn't fit with the Scripture. First of all, Christ said he would build the church, not the Holy Spirit. If you go to Acts chapter 2 and verse 4, Acts chapter 2 verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So, Christ said he would build the church, not the Holy Spirit. Secondly, the ordinances were practiced, as we saw before Pentecost, baptism, the Lord's table, being practiced before. And then, number three, they were assembled before Pentecost. They were assembled before Pentecost. Number four, they were commissioned before Pentecost. We read that in Matthew 28, to Mount of Olives. Commissioned. That was 40 days. He appeared with his disciples 40 days, and then he was taken up to heaven. Pentecost happened after that. They had a business meeting before Pentecost. Say, when was that? Well, that was when they chose the replacement for Judas Iscariot. They had a business meeting. They decided that Matthias would take his place. I mean, that's a business meeting taking place before Pentecost. They had a, number six, they had a means of discipline before Pentecost. That was Matthew 28 there. We read Matthew 18, verses 15 to 17. Had a means of discipline. Now let's go over to Acts chapter 2. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, notice what it says. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. Remember the meaning that we studied last week of the New Testament church. It's an assembly, called out assembly, of baptized believers in Jesus Christ. They were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So how can you add to something that doesn't exist? They were added to them. You drop on down to verse 47 and it says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Daily adding. So you go up to verse 41. We know verse 47, there were 3,000 that were saved, and they were now a group of them, and they were added to them. But verse 41, then there must be an assembly before Pentecost to add to them. Church must exist before Pentecost. So number 12 there notes, the church was empowered at Pentecost. Let's go and look at these scriptures in Luke chapter 24. It was empowered at Pentecost. Not started, empowered. In Luke chapter 24, verse 46. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, and that repentance and remissions of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. So he's telling them what the commission is for the church, to reach out with the gospel. And he said, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. So he's telling them to tarry. Now you can't tell something that doesn't exist to tarry. He's telling them to tarry there till they be endued with power. Instructions for the church, still relevant for today. Church is not going to be successful in reaching out with the gospel of Jesus Christ if we are not led and empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's not going to work. If our believers in our church will not submit themselves to the leadership of the Holy Spirit and not be determined to try to keep their walk with the Lord what it ought to be, the church is not going to be very successful in reaching people with the gospel. It needs to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's so important. It's still relevant today. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish the mission of the local church. And then let's go to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. They were told to tarry there in Jerusalem. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And he said, they were concerned about the coming of the Lord to establish his kingdom. They thought it was going to be right then. Wilt thou at this time, verse 6, restore again the kingdom to Israel? And they were come together in verse 6. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And, of course, we read that in chapter 2 and verse 4. When they were empowered by the Holy Spirit, multitudes of people started coming to Christ. The church was empowered. So what we see is preparation made by John the Baptist, started and purchased by Jesus Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit. The church launched out into the world to spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What a message for us. If we want to accomplish reaching our area for Christ, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to be working on ourselves to walk with the Lord, to keep our sin confessed, to try to stay in the Word of God and to be what a believer should be, to walk with the Lord. It's kind of like one old-time evangelist said, we need the marks of Christ, the marks in our body, like the Apostle Paul. So many Christians today just profess that they know Christ. They make that profession, but if you examine their life, you have a big question mark. Do they really? Do they really believe? Because they don't see the compassion, the love, the concern, the prayer life. And they don't see that. And sometimes family members can't be reached because they don't see Christ in us. And that's what we need, the power of the Spirit. Romans chapter 10, verse 18 tells us that they reached the whole then known world with the gospel. And if the church wants to succeed today in getting the good news of Christ out to the world, even in the 1040 window and all those places that are hard to get into, with the power of the Holy Spirit, it can be done. But so many churches are dragging their feet because they're not interested in the power of God. They're interested in money. They're interested in entertainment. They're interested in, let's get a crowd. How can we get a crowd? And then so that the pastor and staff can boast, look how many people we have. And I'm going to be a mega pastor. Boy, I'll be a big person in the eyes of the world. People talk about me. Well, what about talking about Christ and what he did for us and bringing people to see the great blessings that we have in Christ Jesus? The starting of the church by Jesus shows the need for discipleship. He didn't say, upon this rock I will build my church. All right, guys, that's all yours. Go. That's it. Got you saved. Go. No. He took the time to train them, to teach them, to help them to see what they're going to need to do. And every one of those disciples, Judas, of course, committed suicide, Judas Iscariot. But all the others died martyrs' deaths, exception of John, who was exiled to the Isle of Patmos, and God had purpose for him to write the book of Revelation. so we'd know the end time events. But they all gave their lives for Christ. Why? Because they were trained. He didn't just turn them loose. They were trained to serve Him. And once they knew it was alive, all that training sunk deep in their hearts. And they realized that we serve a living Savior. That's what put their training to work. Did you ever notice that? That's what put their training to work, was they saw the risen Christ. Makes you wonder about a lot of Christians who just sit on the seat of do-nothingness. Do they really grasp the risen Christ alive and coming again? It looks like very soon. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time to think about the church that you established. Oh, what a blessing it is to have the local church, to where we can be taught and trained and established in the Word of God. Help us to see the need for discipleship, the need to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to be more faithful in these last days to serve you, because it just seems like we're about to meet you. Seems like you're coming soon. Father, we just thank you for giving us your word. Thank you, dear Lord Jesus, for all that we have in this great salvation, because you were willing to give your all for us. Help us to be willing to serve you. Bless now in our prayer time. Just thank you that we have a New Testament church that we can come to and we can hear the Word of God. Help us to stay true to your Word, not slide to the left or the right, but stay right on track. We thank you and love you and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together and we'll turn to page number 384. 384. You need the altar, it's open tonight. Where He leads me, I will follow. That's what the New Testament church needs to say.